AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here comes the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joe Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Oh, hell yeah. You about to get all stung up.
What up, Big Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham. It's Joe George, the assistant to the regional manager behind the glass. I'm going to pull the curtain back here a little bit.
Yeah, you should on this
Yesterday, Blankers, we got to peel the curtain back here. Yesterday, Blankers, I mean, we're getting used to Spencer, the new voice guy, which I don't know how I feel about old Spence. But,
really?
I mean, I'm just playing along. Oh. But, So Joel yesterday, I mean, he's still trying to figure out Spence's cadence, still trying to figure out when Spence stops talking, et cetera,
et cetera. We were told there's multiples, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe so, yeah. I don't know. So Blankers, I mean, he kind of talked on Spence's toes a little bit, kind of like stepped on his feet just a little. So Joe like made it a big theatric ordeal. It was like, hey, I'm going to give you a point here. That way you know when to talk.
I'm going to
dumb it down for you talent guys, and I'm going to point whenever you're allowed to talk.
Slander.
This dude pointed 5 seconds before he even was done talking.
And he did the Elvis. He wound up and did like
so
the hip
bad.
Thrust and the shoulder tilt.
I'm going to go deal with my interest.
And then pointed at me, and Spence still had like a sentence and a half to go. And I luckily, as a professional,
You saved him.
Yeah. And looked at him, and then he was like,
this is why we're talent and you're behind the glass. You can't even master a point. That might be one of the worst points literally of all time.
Yeah,
one of the worst points in the history of Earth. 713-780.
You can pull those things on a Saturday, but you don't pull those during the week.
He pointed 5 seconds prematurely. That was atrocious.
It's brutal.
I hope everybody's watching on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5.
Shut up, Junior Bronco.
That point was as bad as Parker Mashinsky's pitching yesterday.
You're not high on him, are you?
I like Junior.
Oh, my gosh. He meant Mashinsky.
Yeah, I meant Jeremy and Mashinsky, though I know, I mean, you are our focus, Joe.
Junior Broncos is living in Joe's head rent-free. Joe's having a rough 5 minutes.
I think he's having a rough day. When I walked in, I couldn't find him, and when I did, he didn't exactly look like he was calm, cool, and collected after the meeting.
He was yelling at the interns because they blew it a bit that we were going to do a 2:30.
That was solid.
His point was 5 seconds premature. He's talking about Junior Broncos when we're talking about Parker Mashinsky, which I'm surprised that they have not optioned him yet down to AAA. That was a frustrating game yesterday. I think the word that I have for it, Blankers, it was annoying. That was an annoying baseball game that the Astros played, which wrapped up really in an annoying series because you blew game one. Like, you should have been going for the sweep yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I know that Dusty's big on winning series, and you know, we're talking about, and he's had quotes saying about, as you get deeper into the season, it's about, you know, stringing first winning series and getting back to 500 and then, you know, kind of getting on a roll. And they've already been on a roll, and we thought that they got past 500, and we thought that they were at a place where they were just going to focus on winning series. But now you start talking about not just giving games away, but you gave a series away. And, you know, Altuve not in the lineup. I understand Dusty likes to rest guys and things like that, but you know what? It's kind of what we talked about when we looked at the matchups. We looked at the game that they were probably going to have the toughest time winning, and they won that game due to the pitching matchup.
Mm-hmm.
And then we looked at the matchups where they should win the game. The first game against Sonny Gray, they weren't favored. We thought they might lose that game.
I don't know what the Vegas odds were, but Sonny's been the best pitcher in the American League
this year. But I'm saying, once you took the lead in the seventh with a grand slam and had the momentum and everything else,
facts,
you would assume that game's yours. And then yet, we talked leading out of the show yesterday, and said, well, it looks like we didn't even know who the pitcher for the Twins was. We're like, you know what? Should have a good chance to win this game. And then they do that. I mean, they looked so flat all night until the eighth or ninth inning with the back-to-back home runs that you're going, man, it seems like they just gave it away.
I'm not going to sit here and press any sort of panic buttons.
No.
I don't like losing series. But the Astros wrapped up a 17-10 May. Like, they had a good month. The Astros are the best at not allowing runs in Major League Baseball. The offense is below average. And whenever you don't have Jose Altuve in the lineup, it's going to be difficult to score runs. That was on display yesterday. So I look at Hunter Brown's outing in that game, too, and it's like, just so annoying. Because I thought Hunter Brown pitched well. I thought Hunter Brown had good
first
stuff.
First two innings.
But even the third inning where he started to get touched up a little bit, like, those were bleeders. Those were seeing-eye singles. You had this, like, the pitch that hit the very first batter. Was it Kepler that was up for Minnesota when it looked like it was strike three?
Oh, right.
Has the leadoff guy out, and all of a sudden, it would hit the dirt. It's a foul tip. He stays alive. You get a little bleeder. But that whole inning was just annoying. Like,
it
Hunter
was.
Brown wasn't getting ripped.
No.
Like, the exit velocity on these pitches weren't, like astronomical.
I thought he was getting too cute,
though. It was a bunch of bloops,
a
bunch of little bleeders through the infield.
He was trying to paint a lot of pitches, and his control was just a little off, too. But I don't disagree with you that he had good stuff. But now, all of a sudden, you look up, and he's at a 30-some pitch inning, and you're like, well, you mean, this basically, you hope he gets through five.
That's to me is why it was so annoying, because, like, I didn't think he got hit hard. He was cruising through two, looked dominant through two. He ended up striking out eight in less than five innings. The Kepler single was incredibly annoying because you thought that was strike three. That's kind of what sparked that third inning. The walk to Michael Taylor was something that frustrates me because you're walking the nine-hole hitter. That was frustrating, and it walked the bases loaded for the top of the order. But he didn't really get hit hard. Like, that's one of the things that you just look at and you go, man, that was a really annoying start for Hunter Brown, where he didn't necessarily pitch all that bad. Did he have a mistake here and there? Yeah, all pitchers do. But he deserved better than what he got yesterday,
sure,
especially in the third inning. You look at Varland, he looked like Varlander yesterday on the mound for Minnesota. Dusty talked about after the game. He's like, well, you know, whenever we face a pitcher for the first time, we don't have very much success. Yep, that was evident again yesterday. Parker Mashinsky, I never want to see him again in a Houston Astros uniform. I really do think he's going to be sent down today. I think he'll be the move for Ronel Blanco. But that dude does not belong in the big leagues. Look, I know it was only one outing, but he was already kind of questionable as a big leaguer already. If I never see Parker Mashinsky again with the Houston Astros, my life will be better for it.
I like the way you're doing what I normally do with guys like Josh James and other guys that annoy me, but... Yeah, look, I don't know that he's ready for prime time. I don't think he's a major league, you know, pitcher that Dusty's going to look to or count on. And we talked about how deep the bullpen is, but right now they just need arms. And a game like that last night, when you have your broadcast team talking about the possibility, as much as you don't like to do it, of possibly pitching a position player.
I wouldn't have minded it.
Because of the fact that you know you've got 17 games in 17 days, and you know that this one was pretty much out of reach, and no matter how much the back-to-back got the people that were left in Minute Maid a little bit excited, and then putting two more guys on, it was an insurmountable lead for the most part. And so you just had to kind of call it as it was, use it as a wash, and move on. And so you didn't want to waste too much pitching, because the one thing Mashinsky was supposed to do was just eat up some innings and do, you know, and just kind of keep the train moving forward. And it didn't seem like he had a very easy time doing that.
I would have let him finish the game.
Maybe.
I don't care if he threw 128 pitches to finish
that game.
Yeah, because
his pitch count was up.
I don't care. Like, I don't want Seth. Like, I'm annoyed that Seth Martinez threw 30 pitches in that game. Because
I understand that.
Like, I don't want Seth Martinez throwing 30 pitches in a game that's over when Parker Mashinsky is getting ripped all over the field. I don't like that Ryan Stanek came into that game in the ninth inning whenever you have 19 games in 19 days. I know that you're not going to let Parker Mashinsky finish that game up. But I wouldn't have minded it. Like, I was looking a lot of I saw a lot of people on the timeline, get Parker Mashinsky out of the game right now. And I'm sitting there with my head firmly in my palms. I'm like, tell me you don't know baseball without telling me you don't know baseball. Why would you pull Parker Mashinsky from a game that's 8-0 late when you're 19 games and 19 days? What do you want to do? You want to go with Brian Abreu in that spot? You want to go with Ryan Pressly in that spot? I'm not pro Parker Mashinsky. But you don't throw dudes whenever you're down 8-0 late in the game, 19 games in 19 days.
He's less than what Seth Martinez was when Seth first got called up,
which was
just an innings eater, you know, bridge the gap to get you through, to make sure you don't have to tax your bullpen type of guy. And then he earned his stripes, and he's elevated because of it. Mashinsky's not even close to that yet. He's just trying to stay in the big leagues. So do whatever is asked of you. And if you can't do that right, then pay the price, suck up the consequences, and go as long as you can just to get the damn game over with so that you don't have to go into your bullpen again.
Annoying game. Annoying series all the way around. That third inning was stupid. I never want to see Parker Mashinsky again with the Houston Astros.
2-4 against the Twins this year, and I understand the first series.
They're first place Twins.
Well, yeah, but they're first place, but they're not
they'd
a great team record wise. Yeah, they're awful record wise. But you look at it and say, okay, we're making excuses if you want to say that you're better than that you should have been better than the Twins in these two series. You had a legit chance to win this series, but the first series, what do you say? It's cold weather. They weren't ready for it. It was early in the season. Great, but you still got to step up and beat these teams. And you know, if you lost that series early in the year against Minnesota, it'd be nice to send a message and also, you know, right the ship, go back and get them. And you had every chance to do that, I think, in the first two games.
I don't get too caught up with that stuff like in the regular season of baseball, but, you know, I don't disagree. I will tip my cap. Sometimes we just got to tip our cap to certain people. I tip my cap to Seth Martinez. This is something that I noticed in game one. You hit our slugger, and look, Yordan Alvarez getting hit on, I guess it was Monday. Yordan Alvarez getting hit on the knee Monday, it wasn't intentional. I know that. But you hit our slugger, you're gonna hear about that later in some form or fashion. Ryan Jeffers hit the home run against Brian Abreu in game one. Kind of peacocked out of the box a little bit. They are stealing bases, the Twins are, with a 7-0 lead. And whenever that happened, I actually tweeted it. I said, they're running up 7-0, they hit Yordan. And I kind of alluded to the fact, at Jeremy Branham, that the Astros should get some retaliation. Seth Martinez dotted up a Minnesota Twin. Tip my cap to Seth Martinez doing what is right for the Houston Astros and dotting up a Twin after all those antics by the Twins during the series.
Absolutely right. And you know what? Again, we go back to what happened in the Oakland series, and if Oakland got their feelings hurt, and then Dusty basically saying he kind of expected it, and that's baseball. Well, this is baseball, too. And the stealing really kind of ticked me off. It kind of got under my skin. Like, what the hell are you doing? Mm-hmm. And why? Like, you know, I know that the Astros are a good baseball team. But at this point in the game, I mean, some message should be sent of retaliation to say, stop this kind of BS, because this isn't what we're all about. And I'm glad that they did something. And I don't think Dusty, the same way he doesn't like to get thrown out, I'm not sure Dusty, as old school as he is, I'm not sure Dusty would call in that kind of thing, call in that request to the pitching staff. I think he leaves it up to his team to handle it themselves, and I'm glad Seth Martinez did.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think you're right. I think he does leave that up to his team. And, hey, tip my cap to Seth Martinez. A little bit of antics throughout that series. You, not intentional when you hit Yordan, but you're hitting my slugger in the knee with a heater. I don't like that. Ryan Jeffers peacocking out of the box when he homered off Brian Abreu. I don't like that. And I really don't like you stealing bags when it's 7-0 late in the game on the last day of May. So kudos, Seth Martinez, for being in that dude.
I'm going to pull for Ryan Jeffers, though, when he doesn't play the Astros.
Why is that?
It's a good story.
I don't know the story.
He blew out his ACL twice.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he was supposed to be a pretty highly regarded prospect, and they brought him back, and I guess he just shifted out in the field and tore his ACL a second time. And his first game back was against the Astros, and he had a great series. I mean,
yeah, I don't care about him. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. What was annoying to you about this series defeat at the hands of the first-place Minnesota Twins? 713-780-3776. Busy show. Who made the list? Who made the list this week? Bad Take Boulevard at 1:30. Wheels of Bits at 2:30, which I guess, are you smarter than an intern? Because that's been spoiled
electric
by the interns.
Fact.
It's going to be electric. DeAndre Hopkins potentially back to the Houston Texans. Lots to get to today. We're on Twitch TV, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Brannon. But what annoyed you about this series? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5,
ESPN 97.5, the only Houston sports station with a bidet.
And the bidet, should it break, is there a bidet repairman on site?
Welcome back, Houston. It's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Is this where the song where it says, put on your makeup? Well, you're pointing like Joe George was pointing.
I just want to tell you that Spence was done. You could proceed.
780 ESPN. What was annoying to you about this series? It's the summer of the Killer Bees, by the way.
Yeah.
Summer of the Bees, we're getting our hot bee bodies ready. It's a hot bee summer. And we're taking our Hot B Summer on the road this Friday as ESPN 97.5 and the Hot B Summer is hitting the road for our 2023 Summer Circuit starting this Friday, June 2nd. We'll be broadcasting from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. That's tomorrow, by the way. 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. at T-Box, Texas, and Kima. Come hang out with us. Play a round of golf on their incredible golf simulators. Enjoy drink specials, door prizes. For more information on all the stops for our 2023 Summer Circuit, head over to ESPN975.com. Summer Circuit starts tomorrow. It's the Summer of the Bees. You're gonna hit some balls tomorrow?
I might.
The golf simulator. I'm more curious about these drink specials than I am the swing and the shticks.
Do you see that they have Granada was talking. Everybody's playing Pebble tomorrow if you pay $25. And the best score gets a $500 Astros, like, wood frame cooler.
I saw the cooler. I didn't know the details of the contest.
John was
I did
talking about cooler. It this morning. Very, very neat contest.
So are they doing it all day? Or
if
is
you
it
pay
like...
$25 and you play Pebble Beach on the simulator,
yeah.
Low score wins the cooler.
I love these golf simulators because you can go like hit balls and you're inside. Like who wants to go hit balls outside in the summer? No.
The element I don't like is the putting.
I understand that. You know what really annoys me about now, I love golf simulators, but the one thing that annoys me more than I've made one eagle in my life.
Yeah.
It was on a golf simulator.
Oh really?
Yeah, I don't feel like it. That's kind of an asterisk.
Yeah,
it's an asterisk. Let's be honest.
That's kind of tough. That's like saying I got a hole in one, but I got it on a simulator.
I wouldn't count that.
Yeah, no,
like you if
can't.
You make a hole in one or an eagle on a golf simulator, does it have an asterisk next to it? 713-780-3776. In fact, I don't even think it has an asterisk next to it. I don't think you can count it.
No, it just doesn't count.
Yeah,
absolutely,
I'm with you.
It's like playing a video game. Well, I got an eagle on Golden Tee.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, then you're a video game player, but you're not a golfer.
It's a little bit more difficult than a video game because it's like a real swing.
Yeah,
but. Is it closer to a video game than like making an eagle on a real golf course? Probably.
But is it a real swing? Because you can have the worst swing in the world.
Yeah, it's a real swing. It's got the track man forecast.
But I'm just saying, if you had the worst backswing and takeaway, but you made contact and it hit the screen at the right way.
No, because it reads launch angle, it reads exit velocity, it reads the speed. No, I don't think so. I think it's really accurate.
I've seen Happy Gilmore. I mean, you can have a really obnoxious.
You've seen Happy Gilmore on a.
Well, but I
golf
mean,
simulator.
It doesn't matter how you get there, but if on impact there's club head speed and it hits the ball squarely.
Yeah, but you can tell like the spin of the ball and like where it's going to go. I think they're incredibly accurate. The TrackMans are really accurate, but I don't think it counts as an eagle. 713-780-ESPN, 2920. This was an annoying series all around. Nice comeback in game one just to be blown by our best two relievers, and game three was absolutely cold bats compared to game one and game two. Felt like a getaway game a little bit yesterday, even though the Astros aren't going anywhere. They're not getting away. 6941, how many times does a new pitcher who everyone else beats up on look like a Cy Young pitcher against us? Our scouting and pitching coaches look pathetic. I don't know why you would say pitching coaches, maybe hitting coaches. The Astros pitching coaches are their secret ingredient. They're fantastic. I think the hitting coaches are fine, too. You know, you got Cintron, you got Snitker. It was an annoying game.
It's just annoying. Just chalk it up as one of those games in the season that you're not happy with the outcome, you're not happy with the way you got there. And you just got to move on because you haven't lost like four, five, six, seven games in a row. Yeah, you lost the series, but at the same time, for the month of April, you were 17-10. I mean, May, you were 17-10 in May, and you know you're really kind of righted the ship. You had a good winning streak. I think you're just gonna be fine. You just got to keep moving forward.
I would have really liked to be 18-9.
I hear you. Just win the series.
Just win that first. Whenever the pitching matchups came out for the series and they had Sonny Gray going game one, Joe Ryan going game two, and the Astros had like France, Bielak, I was I didn't feel great about winning the series. Mm-hmm. So like if you would have been able to take 2 of 3 in a series where the pitching matchups don't favor you, especially with letting that first game, you know, get off the hook, like you feel a lot better. And then you get to the series finale with Hunter Brown on the mound against Varlander, and you feel really good about you winning that ball game, and you can't get it. So it was just super annoying.
Yeah, no, I hear you. But, you know, now you got the Angels, and, of course, no matter how middle of the road they are, yeah, everybody's still talking about nationally on SportsCenter the fact that Ohtani and Trout hit 450-plus bombs yesterday. Well, okay, they're in third place, and you need to send another message, and you need to make sure that they stay there. And so you just got to take care of your business. The better part of your pitching staff is going to be pitching in this series, and you're going to get your guys on the bump that you want to have out there, mainly Javier and Fromber, and you're gonna, you know, you're gonna just have to take it because really they're not playing great baseball at home. They just, to me, I don't know if they get too comfortable at home, but it, there just seems to be kind of a lack of the kind of energy that you see on the road with this team.
Probably fluky more than anything else. To be determined on the mound today for the Houston Astros, by the way. He's having a heck of a year. Probably going to be Ronel Blanco.
Yeah, Blanco.
It's probably going to be Ronel Blanco. But you, do you see the pitching matchup for tomorrow?
Is it Shohei?
Scheduled pitching matchup tomorrow. Shohei versus Fromber. Ooh-hoo-hoo. On a Friday night at Minute Maid Park.
Wow.
That place is going to be sold out.
I was going to say it better be packed.
It's going to be sold out. It's going to be electric. People are going to love it. 2382 says, what's annoying to me is Jose Abreu. I feel like that's just going to be annoying forever, to be honest with you. I thought he took a step back yesterday. Like he was starting to show a little bit of progress, starting to show some like good plate appearances wherever you have like the eye test. I feel pretty good. I feel like he's going to start like to turn it around. He was dreadful yesterday. He was not good yesterday.
No, he's catching a lot of heat. So it's a work in progress. He's not going anywhere. So especially with Dusty as the manager and what they're paying him, he's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. So right the ship, big fella.
8924, if the Astros have a chance to get a top three rotation pitcher with at least 2 years club control before the deadline, they should take it. At this point, you can't count on McCullers being healthy. Anytime he actually plays will just be a plus. I'm with you on the McCullers part, 8924. I would never count on Lance McCullers to be part of any sort of plans. Playoff rotation, starting rotation next year. If Lance McCullers is healthy, cool. I'll make those decisions that I have to make when I have to jump across that bridge, whenever I have to cross that bridge. I am no longer ever counting on Lance McCullers to be a member of the Houston Astros. No. If he's healthy enough, great.
Well, we were talking about that the other day. I think that we're past the point of high expectations and just waiting until he's healthy and then expecting from there, you know, everything's going to be fine. He's an added bonus that you can, you know, that you can have and use until you can't. But the track record shows you more times than not, you can't use him. And so you can't count on him. So that's something that you need to move on from. In terms of the first part of the comment, the bigger thing to me is I'm not worried about the 2 or 3 years of team control and all those other things, because you're going to probably have to pay a much steeper price for a guy like that. And for the Astros and the fact that we know that they have a surplus of starting pitching, albeit some of them are hurt now, only one of them is shut down with surgery for the season, being Garcia. Those guys are going to be back, you assume. And at least one of them is, but you got young pitchers that are also pitching well. But I believe they need one, and I believe there's plenty of guys in the last year of their deal where you don't have to pay as much that are going to be made available if they're not available already. And those are the guys that Dana Brown should target.
The point, though, that 8924 said about a top three rotation pitcher with at least 2 years of club control, like, that's probably going to be one of the best pitchers on the market at the trade deadline. I don't think that the Astros can find top-tier, like, they can find it. I don't think the Astros have the assets to trade for top-tier talent.
That's my point, too.
Like, you have Drew Gilbert, your best prospect. You probably don't want to trade him. You're not packaging Chaz McCormick and Corey Joel, because that's not going to get you any sort of return. The Astros minor league system right now doesn't allow them to make a huge splash. You could find like an expiring contract. Right. You could find somebody who could be a top four rotation. Like, I like Eduardo Rodriguez, although he landed on the IL the other day with like a weird middle finger, but expected to be back. Like, you could find him. Like, you could trade for him. But in terms of being like this standout starter or a huge standout bat that has multiple years of club control, the Astros don't have the farm system to trade for that type of player.
No, they don't.
Quite honestly.
That's part of the point I was making. Is the fact that the price is going to be so high for a guy with that many years of team control left that the Astros aren't going to be anywhere near able to or in a position to get into those kind of discussions without giving up and mortgaging your future literally, because your farm system is still depleted in terms of how it's looked at by the rest of the baseball. So you go get a guy, and we've already mentioned several guys that are out there that are going to be either made available or probably will be available between now and the deadline, because they're in the final year of their deal. And we mentioned, you know, some of the guys that are hot topics and commodities, like a Giolito in Chicago. That's the kind of guy that you go kick the tires on, and you see, can we get in the middle of that? Can we give up one prospect?
I don't think you're going to like your answer there, because I think they can get more than what you can offer them.
You still think teams are going to start throwing more? I believe there'll be competition, because there's, with the expanded playoffs, I believe there'll be competition. I would love to say that, you know, that I think Chicago will be wise to sit on it and
wait.
They
should try. You're right.
But I definitely think they need to be in those conversations.
Dick Willie says trade for Sonny Gray. I would love Sonny Gray.
Minnesota's going to trade him.
Yeah, they're in first place.
Right.
That's the thing. They're in first place. Someone else saying what was annoying to them, 6941. After Kyle Tucker lost arbitration, I expected way more. He looks disinterested to me.
He always looks that way.
Kyle Tucker's, he's not playing his best right now, but Kyle Tucker's going to be fine. Like, I'm not worried about Kyle Tucker.
Kyle Tucker is the emotional equivalent of Phil Maton.
Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, but Kyle Tucker, as much as, and I used to ride him all the time his first 3 years in the leagues for just not being the dude that he was supposed to be and not living up to expectations yet. And when is the light going to go on? When the light went on, it was a very bright light. So there's nothing to say at his age, without any kind of major injury to overcome, that he's not going to get right again and continue to do what he's been doing. It's just you got to be patient with him, and it's tough because of the injuries and the slow start the team has had because of said injuries that you're not as patient as you'd like to be.
713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780. I don't know what camera to look at. 713-780-3776. Joe, you're going to need a point to me again. All right, all the reports on C.J. Stroud are so far so good. Look, we're not going to, you know, we're not going to overreact to this, but it's better to be so far so good than so far, I don't know. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. One thing that you're never, I don't know about, is HRMP. You're always like, they're great, they're the best. Mike Holla, U of H class of 1990. He's been protecting the interest of businesses for nearly 25 years. Just like he used to protect a Heisman Trophy winner, now he protects businesses. Chris Fisher over there as well, great people at HRMP. People that you can count on, people that you can trust, people that you can give a little bit of work to so you can spend time and energy back into growing your business. Or maybe you're lazy and want to spend some time at the golf course. I tip my cap to those people. HRMP will also work with you to customize a plan for whatever you need. There's nothing cookie cutter with HRMP. That's what makes them so special, is that they will completely customize a plan for what you need. If you need a little bit of help, you need a lot of help, anything in between, HRMP will literally create a plan for you. Nothing cookie cutter. They'll do what you want them to do. Whatever you want, whatever your business needs, they will do. Also, their customer service, second to none. It's not some stranger on the other side of the line. You'll be calling someone that is familiar with you. They know you. They've done their background and research on you. They're familiar with your company. I can speak to that customer service. I'm an email guy. Anytime I have a question, I send out a quick email. I always get a quick response that's very easy to understand. I love HRMP. Let HRMP take on the demands of human resources and eliminate your HR burden so you can get back to growing your business or spending time on the golf course. Give them a call at 281-880-6525. Let HRMP customize a plan for you. 281-880-6525 or check them out at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, the best sports radio station in Houston. Well, on FM, that is. All teams covered. No stalking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Some dude just texted us. 7554. Lance is done for the year, inside source. I'm not going to put a whole lot of stock into text on the text line, although I'm sure you're brilliant, 7554. That said, would it surprise me? No.
Well, you just
absolutely not. It wouldn't surprise me. Dana Brown was talking to the media scrum yesterday, and they said that he's lightly throwing on flat ground and that they will have more information in a week or two. If the information in a week or two is that he's out for the year, would I be stunned? No. Would I be surprised? No. Am I halfway expecting it? Yeah.
Well, we just got done saying it. You can't count on him. You can't. He's an added bonus if and when he's available. And basically, you probably go to that resource as much as you can and try to get the most out of him because you don't know how long you're going to have him. And other than that, you don't plan for him to be a part of anything you're doing other than a great pre- and post-game speech giver and an immaculate-looking cheerleader in the dugout, because we've seen too much. And you know that I've probably gone off the deep end a little bit further than most about my levels of frustration in the fact that this injury, which didn't need surgery, is sitting here basically cleaning out the better part of 2 years of Major League Baseball for a guy that you have locked up. And it's frustrating. And again, I'm not a doctor, but I'm just wondering if anything else could have been done in all the time that has passed to try and have prevented this much time missed with this many games not played. It's annoying. And so that's another reason why I think Dana Brown's going to be real active trying to find pitching before he tries to find anything else for this ball club between now and the trade deadline.
See, I don't know about that.
Okay.
I don't know about that, actually. 713-780-ESPN.
I think it's likely that they I think they need to be aggressive.
But with more because, of an arm or more of a bat?
More an arm. Because I think you need to think short-term and long-term. And that's even where like a guy like Giolito doesn't really interest me that much anymore because he's on a one-year contract. But you're going into the next season right now. You know you have Fromber, Javier, and Hunter Brown. You should have Urquidy, in theory. Mm-hmm. But like we didn't really get to touch on it yesterday. But that video, Joel, I know you didn't like it, from Urquidy throwing before the game.
He throws funny.
He does throw funny, but the way I looked at it, I didn't say I didn't like it. It just didn't look comfortable
to
me.
It didn't look
like he was full extending his arm. It looked like he was nursing the shoulder blade.
He always kind of throws
and
that way.
He does
way.
Throw a
like
little
he throws
funky,
from here, not here.
But he still finishes it, right? And it looked like he was afraid to finish
kind
it.
Of snapping it.
Yeah, and so it just it looked quirky to me, and I didn't like it.
So like you have this Urquidy question. You've got – you know, I know Dana Brown said Luis Garcia will be back in 2024, but what does that really mean? Like, are you talking All-Star break 2024?
Probably.
And you can't rely on Lance McCullers. So if there is a pitcher available that you can acquire that doesn't cost you Drew Gilbert that has some control, I think that'd be a valuable asset for this team because I think
sure.
they need it.
I just don't know that you're going to have enough to acquire it, one. And I'm not sure it's the biggest need that you have. Like, despite all of these injuries, the Astros still lead baseball in ERA. The Astros still give up the fewest runs of all of Major League Baseball. We talked yesterday how Brandon Belak and J.P. France have better combined numbers than Luis Garcia and Jose Urquidy. Their offense is below average. The Astros' offense is below average versus the rest of Major League Baseball. So what is the bigger need? The bigger need is an arm whenever you have the best ERA in baseball and you're preventing the fewest runs in Major League Baseball? Or is it a bat whenever you have a below-average offense?
I mean, I think they probably still, when they know more than we do, but I think they're, at least there's still an expectation that Michael Brantley's going to see the field at some point. And when he does, whether he plays the field at all or not.
Can we count
hitter,
on that, though?
No,
like,
I don't know that you can.
If we're not counting on Lance, can we count on Michael Brantley?
I don't know that you can. Like I said,
I'm not
they know
on him.
They know probably more than we
they
do.
They should, yeah.
But I'm looking at it thinking that, you know, regardless of Bagwell's comments about when he was going to be ready or and everything that's happened since, by All-Star break, if you get Michael Brantley back, or at least around that time, and you realize that he's a career 290-300 hitter, that you should be able to get a bat that way without having to go out and get another one. So I think he's on the very take your time, make sure, like Dusty said, with Lance 100% before we see him. But when there's an expectation that sometime by midseason, he should be back in the lineup. I think that probably leads you even more so to look at pitching first.
I don't know.
But
man.
I don't think that the door is shut on either one. I think he's going to probably explore everything. Like you said, the biggest thing is going to be, what are you going to give up?
If you can only have one, what would it be?
I think it'd be a starting pitcher.
I would go with a bat.
I think I'm team starting pitcher. Because while it's good right now, mm-hmm. it's... Are Belak and France guys that you want to put out there in the playoffs?
Are Belak and France guys that you need to put out there in the playoffs? Like, you have three dudes at the top. How often do you really count on your fourth starter?
If you're not,
and the Astros have the best bullpen in baseball.
But when you're not going to win your, if you don't win your division, let's say,
okay,
and you're going to have extended series, like you might need that fourth arm.
Would you rather have a fourth starter, or would you rather have a dude that can legitimately hit in the middle of your order?
But if you. How are you going to acquire that guy?
Yeah,
if you
what do you
give
it up?
Because I think you can find a rental bat, actually cheaper than you can find a starting pitcher with multiple years still of club control.
I think that's true.
Yeah, I'm not looking.
That I agree.
I just don't think you're. I don't think they're going to find even if they're looking for it, the multiple years of team control
no,
starting
either.
Pitcher.
I think
that's a top three starter. I think it's completely unrealistic. But I think that you can get a guy on an expiring contract that you know has been a top of the or a mid to top level type starter. That could fill in for you. And then you have the conversation in the offseason to see if you can re-sign them. Uh-huh. But I think that at least it gets you, it buys you time and gets you through the rest of the season. And that's the sense of urgency that they have to focus on for right now.
See, if I'm like forecasting the playoffs, and look, I think that every playoff round needs to be on the table. Like, I don't think you should be planning and building a playoff team and playoff roster based on the idea that you're going to be a top two seed. That's not a given. That's not a guarantee. It's not a guarantee you're going to win the American League West. So I think Joe's point is fair. Like, you have to have this mindset and plan preparing for the worst. And preparing for the worst in the playoffs means that you're potentially playing in that wild card series. You're looking at a best of three. But if it's a best of three, you got three dudes. starters. Like, you have three starters you feel comfortable about. Okay, you get past there, you're looking at a best of five. All right, the Astros have three starters they, again, feel comfortable about and have a really good bullpen. How often do you see four starters go into the fourth inning of a playoff game? Not very often. How important is a dude in the middle of this lineup? I think it's way more important to have a bat than a pitcher.
But the only thing with the – I know you have three starters, but one of your starters – the minute you get to the playoffs, Hunter Brown is going to have pitched more innings than he's ever pitched in his life. Mm-hmm. So, like, yes, you have three starters, but you have to also kind of prepare for his arm to get that dead arm.
Sure. Like, so, I want both, like, to be honest with you. But if I had to pick one of the over the other, I think this team needs a bat way more than it needs an arm. Then the numbers back that up. The Astros are the best ERA in baseball. They have a below-average offense in baseball.
But here's what the thing is, what's tough with the Astros lineup is that, like, between Jolks, Myers, McCormick, you kind of have center field and left field, in theory, covered, right? Like, yes.
For now.
Left field is the only spot in the lineup you can legitimately upgrade at.
Yep.
That's the real problem.
Unless.
What, you got bail on Abreu?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think the Astros will do it. I don't think the Astros will bail on Abreu. But could you look at a situation where maybe you bring in a left-handed bat and you're looking at a platoon situation? Like, I bet you last year when James Click traded for Trey Mancini, he wanted Trey Mancini to take over at first base. Maybe you do that again, but you actually allow somebody to take over at first base. I think that's the only option.
Yeah, and I know. And it's one that I don't think they want it for a variety of reasons. It's one they don't want to do. I don't think that Bagwell and or as it relates to the owner, I don't think that Jim Crane wants to bail on the money that he gave up and wants to look like he's wrong.
You're 100% right, but it might be you do it and you can be a little legit championship contender, or you don't and you're not. So it's a huge, you're right. It is a very difficult decision. It's a rock and a hard place. I personally don't think that they will bail on Jose Abreu. But in terms of adding a player that's going to upgrade you more than any other position, first base is where you could potentially upgrade more than any other spot. Any other spot, because you can find a decent hitting first baseman for rather cheap. And Jose Abreu right now is the worst offensive first baseman in all of baseball. So it'd be a huge upgrade immediately, and it wouldn't cost you an arm and a leg.
The key is the rather cheap, too, because I don't think that they can go in and get into a competitive environment, regardless of whether the prospects or not, because I don't think Crane wants to put money on top of money when he thought that he was getting a first baseman for the next 3 years. So I think that if he can get someone that's in the final year of their deal on a rental, and that someone could be impactful in the middle part of your lineup or somewhere at the top part of your lineup, then that's great. I'm with you. I'd like to have both. I just don't think they have the resources, and I don't think Crane wants to commit the finances to make both happen.
You could find like an average first baseman and like a fourth starter. Like, and I think that's what the Astros are going to do. I think you could find like a decent hitting first baseman and then like an Eduardo Rodriguez. I think that that is attainable. I think that that is possible.
See, I like a Rodriguez. I like a Marcus Stroman. I like a guy that you could put in the fourth spot, but has been at certain points in their career have been better than that, or a Giolito.
More upside.
I don't want like a Lance Lynn, because we've seen Lance Lynn in the playoffs, and we know not only does his weight blow up, but so does the way he pitches.
Yeah, I see. I like that too. You get kind of a volatile four that, like, his numbers might not look tremendous, but he has the ability of pitching like a two
and put a better team behind him now, and then I think you reap the benefit.
Stroman's on an expiring deal.
He is. That's like, why I mentioned him.
He might not cost you an arm and a leg because he's on an expiring deal. Who knows?
I feel like there's going to be competition though, Joe. I feel like the Cubs are going to get a lot of offers. For
the
him.
Competition starts with him. He has already said he doesn't want to be traded. He says he wants a new deal.
Yeah, but I mean, so it's like, that's cool.
He can get the new deal next year just by signing the trade.
Oh, yeah.
Gives him a chance to win as a rental, and then you can go right back.
Yeah, the Cubs might be like, well, that's cool, Marcus, but we want a prospect, and maybe can kick the tires on you again in free agency. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's get to the topic we were teasing. 713-780-3776. Report so far on C.J. Stroud is good. Not to overreact to that, but it's better be good than bad so far. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 in the studio with the candlestick.
Mrs. Peacock was a man?
The Killer Bees. What about the murderous Jays? We've got Joel, Jeremy, and Joe. That's three Jays. And we all love Bees and Jays. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5. It's the Killer Bees and Murderous Jays.
Joe letting us know that he picks all the music. He wanted to do it. It was a little flex there. last second.
He asked me a question.
He also picks the cues.
A little bit of a flex. His cues aren't as good as his music. So you're the one who picked the last song that was talking about put on your makeup. No.
That one's instrumental, but yes.
Wait, how'd it go?
Exactly how I just said it.
I'll do it again.
No, I'm not doing it again.
Did you pick Timbaland or did you pick Timberland?
I'm not answering that question.
Okay.
Well, just do it again, Jerry. We've already been nominated for the Chump of the Week. It's okay.
Again?
What did we do this time?
Jeremy and I got nominated
for
the cocaine lady from Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
When we did the whole story and then we had to come back after the break and our bad.
That's a fair one. I would like to win it this week because of that.
You can't walk away from that one.
That was fair. I'm going to take my
L
on
Jake
that.
Get nominated? Did Jake get nominated for going off on an extended comment about how the new NFL rule?
Oh, yeah. He got nominated for that.
So remember how you and I talked about the fact that with the new rule on the kickoffs, that it basically essentially eliminates kickoffs. Jake went off. I was in the car, and Jake went off for about a good couple of minutes on the fact that this is ridiculous because you can't do that. What's the use of doing this on punts? Because now you can't kick it and down it inside the five. And he kept going on and on. Brad went, you do realize this is punts too. And he's like, it doesn't say it anywhere. It doesn't say in the release anywhere. And he goes, well, here's Rappaport and here's Schefter.
He said one yesterday that I was going to put him on Bad Take Boulevard.
Oh, you were listening.
But I listen to 45 minutes of sports radio a day if I'm going to peel back the curtain.
Okay.
And it's usually the 45 minutes when I'm driving home. I'll bounce around here and there. I can't remember what he said, though. It was what he said about SFA. It's what he said about SFA. I might put it on Bad Take Boulevard. Okay. We'll see if it made the list. It was borderline.
I heard that segment, too, I think.
Yeah,
when they were doing the top state teams.
Yeah, he didn't understand, or he doesn't know what you shouldn't expect this from a New Yorker talking a little ball down in the South, but he didn't know what SFA's, what Axum meant. And he said something after that kind of rhymed with that.
He also, I think, was a little puzzled. Oh, he didn't know what the Battle of Piney Woods was. He didn't know what
he couldn't remember.
He called that game.
He couldn't remember.
Yeah,
he couldn't remember. 713-780-ESPN at HRMP. I called that game once. On the highway to hell. 713-780-3776. All right. Speaking of the highway to hell, CJ Stroud, OTAs, doing football things, which is great. Look, what's coming out of OTAs, like, I don't put a whole lot of stock in, but what's coming out, I want to be good versus bad, right? Like, we saw Baker Mayfield and Kyle Trask on video throwing the ball like they were Anthony Richardson. Like, that's not good. I don't want to see that for my quarterback. Like, I'm not going to put a whole lot of stock in these things, but what I see, I'd rather be good than bad. We saw one of Will Levis where he airmailed the throwing net, which was a weird drill that they were doing, and he did a 180 and threw behind him, but he airmailed the net. I don't want to see that. I want to see some solid production. Like, I want to see him making, like, good throws. I don't want him seeing airmailed receivers or wide receiver nets. So, like, the reports we're getting so far on Stroud are good. Not going to put a whole lot of stock in that, but it's better to be good than bad, right? Gerard Johnson, who's in his first year as the quarterback coach for the Houston Texan, talking about what it's like coaching a top five pick, especially quarterback.
Well, it's good. It's exciting. You know, anytime you can get a talent like CJ in the room, you're excited to coach him. You know, but we have a good group. It's not just me, you know, Shane Day and Bill Lazor and Bobby. You know, we're all in there with the quarterbacks, and we all have different backgrounds and different things that we pull from to coach the players. And so, as a first-year quarterback coach, it's good to have those guys around him. And just like most things, it's a team effort, you know. And so we're all going to do what we can to try to get our players, put them in the best position.
So there you go. Gerard Johnson talking about that. He also talked about how Stroud was ahead of progress. Here's one more. Gerard Johnson, what are they asking of CJ during these OTAs?
We just want to be, you know, comfortable and confident in what we're asking them to do. You know, we just want them to be the best version of themselves, you know. And so that's what the spring is about, is all these guys getting reps and learning the system and just kind of feeling confident about how they play the game, how they operate in our system, you know, just so we can get out of the spring with a good base.
There you go. Gerard Johnson talking about CJ Stroud. Like what you heard?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's like you and I talked about. I really, for the most part, just want everybody to stay healthy, and I want CJ Stroud to learn the system. I want him to get reps. I want, you know, guys to understand just kind of like the speed of the game and the things that D'Amico's going to ask of the defense and Slowick's going to ask of the offense, and then just move forward from there. I don't get too excited about OTAs. I don't think that there's a ton to be, talked about or gained. I believe that.
Wouldn't you feel worse if it's bad, though? Like, if he's missing a throwing net like Levis, if he's, like, again, not going to put a whole lot of stock into it. I think we kind of have to, like, minimize how much importance this stuff has. But I don't want to see him missing a net. I don't want him to see missing receivers. I don't want him to be the laughing stock on the internet because he made a bad pass at a bad drill. Is it important? No. But I'd rather be good than bad.
I understand. But what I would respond to that with is better now than later. So now if you see a couple of those wayward throws or things like that, maybe there's things they can work on. Maybe that's, you know, they could pinpoint better than us about maybe it's it, whether it be mechanics and delivery or more importantly, timing and things like that, that he can, you know, work on those things. And that's what these camps are for. So I'd say better now than later so that he can kind of fine tune it. But again, I'm not going to lose too much sleep, even in the case of Trask and Baker. Baker maybe more so because he's such a veteran, but right now is when these mistakes for young quarterbacks are going to be made. So yeah. That's fine.
To me, it's more about like the accuracy, though, than it is mistakes. Like if you're like missing receivers, well, especially as a guy veteran. Like
Stroud also, but from a Stroud perspective, you don't expect that because one of the compliments that people gave him coming out was accuracy. He's accurate with the ball.
Yeah. So like if he's having trouble with the accuracy, you're like, oh, that's not great. Right. Again, I can put tons of stock in it, but oh, that's not good. Baker Mayfield as a veteran, like, you know, I understand it. He's on his first year with the Bucs, trying to learn receivers, things like that. So, okay, cool. Will Levis missing a receiver net, cool. But I'm happy that it's not the Houston Texans quarterback that's going viral that day, that's making an incredibly inaccurate throw and is the laughingstock of the internet. Like, again, does it matter a lot? No, but I'm glad I don't see it.
Until it is, like with Baker. We saw those things early on and went, oh, he's just growing pains. He'll get better. It'll all be fine. And then it didn't. And then it continued. And then it got worse. And now you think he's stealing money, and he stole money for a long period of time in the NFL, and he probably wasn't worthy of being the number one overall pick in the draft.
I don't think it's fair to say he's stealing money, though.
Oh, I think
he's good enough
as a starting quarterback
to
get starting quarterback money.
Do you think he's a top 32 quarterback in the world?
I really don't.
I think it's close.
Yeah, I really don't. I think it's close. To be honest with you, here's a better question. Would you pay him top 32 quarterback money in the world? Because I wouldn't.
I mean, if you're Tampa, so what?
You know, I've seen like enough of them. If I wanted him to be a backup again for the Rams and use the McVay system too as possibly something that could be beneficial to him, so be it. But if I'm looking at even in Tampa on a rebuild or trying to find my next quarterback, I don't want a retread that looks like the tread's been worn thin by a guy that wears thin on everybody's nerves, too.
3780, so what Branham is saying basically is he's glad Levis is not the Texans quarterback. You can't make that jump and conclusion on June 1st before they've even started their rookie year. I hope so. I hope that after this rookie season that I'm looking back and being, man, I was a fool to think that Will Levis was going to be better than C.J. Stroud or had him higher as my rookie quarterback prospects. I hope that we're there. I hope to be terribly wrong. I will sacrifice and take the L for the benefit of the NFL team. But am I making that proclamation on June 1st? You can't. Do I think Stroud's a little bit ahead of Levis based on what I've seen on viral videos on the internet? Sure, I guess. Jasper says the two most common Chump of the Week nominees are Jake and Branham. Hey, look, that show can't get me out of their heads. I can totally understand why. They listen to every word I say like
one of the big
gospel. I do. We're measly midday guys.
Yep.
You and I are measly midday guys, and that I do one day hope to be as great. Apparently, I'm right up there with Jake. If I'm the two most common Chump of the Week nominees, it seems like Jake and Branham are toe-to-toe. They're on the same playing field. They're looking at each other eye-to-eye.
Well, Stoots told us to sit this one out.
Measly midday guy right here, where the big boys play. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. What's the one question that you have you would like to know about Bobby Slowick's offense? I think it's one of the most intriguing things as we get ready for the 2023 NFL season. 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, the only sports radio on FM in Houston.